Good morning and welcome to the March 13th session of the Portland City Council. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Here. We have some communication items. Would you take the first one, please, Carla?
Item 204, request of Barbara Boos to address council regarding educational grants for pets suffering from hazmat.
Boos, come on up. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Boos. And I got to sit down here.
Pull that chair up and get comfortable.
This is in response to Battalion Chief James Clum. And I want to request that the Bureau of Police work in response, coordinate and cooperate with the fire department in regards to hazmat number 7, which is the fire engine located at 19th and Northeast Killingsworth. And since 9/11, it's had 100 sensors for detecting the particulates in the air, and it's not being used for parent drug houses. And I have found this out by working with the police department for the last, since probably, well, 2 or 3 years. And each meth cook has byproducts of Drano, bleach, and aluminum in the air. And so also enclosed is an independent police review division document that was originally for January the 11th, 2011, with Officer Kyle Heffley and Atasha Hager, Sergeant Hager. And they came out and they breathed in the particulates in the air. It was a foul stench, and it was going down into my front property against my landscape and my real property, and then in my yard. And it was very bad. And they said, this is a chronic nuisance complaint. So you need to call 911 when it happens, because we need to catch the drug dealer. We need to catch everything in progress. And I did. Nothing happened. So this I'm going to file today, because if something had been done in coordination with the fire department, my service dog, Dylan, who is worth $20,000, would be alive today. Now, the neighborhood put this together, and this is to request the ambulance services for service dogs and companion dogs and domestic animals, service and companion animals from Multnomah County to OSU in Corvallis to the vet students, so that they can measure the particulates with the sensors. So that is my main focus.
Okay, Barbara, thank you. You've used your time, and I appreciate you bringing this documentation, too. So that'll give us a chance to look into this. So thank you for coming today. Thanks very much. Okay, Carla, next person.
Item 205, request of Colonel Moses to address council regarding prayer vigil, camping ban, hurdles, and solutions to safe sleep.
Okay, Mr. Moses. Morning.
Good morning. I wrote a little poem that I'd like to read to you.
Okay, have a seat. And again, you have 3 minutes. So.
Thank you. When I was first establishing the sacred space out here, I was one of the few people supporting it, and I went about a week where I got, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours of sleep each night. And I was wanting to write a poem, and all I could get was the dream of sleep. And that poem never manifested, but last night after work, I thought, you know, I really ought to finish that poem. So I wrote a poem for y'all. It's called The Dream of Sleep. A light in the commons illumines a truth. Entropy of ordinance makes for horrid experience. Miles of empty real estate heated to save the plumbing. Souls shiver on sidewalks deprived of legal bedding. Shattered realities and neighborly angst breed environment of fear. No politician will stand against a cadre of neighbors riddled, scared. Enigma, how the riddle become unraveled, but folks are being strangled, deprived of their dreams. Public education, fear remediation, it's our only hope, teaching all how to cope. R2-D2-4-5-6, PBA tries to hex with their war on the poor, but you and I have the fix. A light in the commons illumines a truth. Society needs to be soothed. Nightmares run rampant when you're forced to the street, where the only dream you have is the dream of sleep.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you for coming. I have 48 seconds, so if any of you have a question for me, I'd like to take this opportunity to answer any of your questions.
I think we have any questions, but we'd love a copy of your poem.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
No questions. All right. I'll get that copy to you. Thanks.
Item 206, request of Scott Fernandez to address council regarding future of Portland's drinking water.
Morning, Scott. Welcome.
Good morning.
You know the procedure, 3 minutes and just put your name into the record. So.
Right. Scott Fernandez. My website is www.bullrunwaiver.org. Good morning. Now is the time for Portland City Council to request an EPA Safe Drinking Water Act waiver. Without the waiver, Portland will continue to increase water utility rates that have doubled over the last decade, continue to lose jobs as we've seen with Siltronics and Steinfeld's, and reduce water quality while jeopardizing the microbrew industry and the health of children, all for a corrupt Aspergillus public health problem that has never existed and never will because we do not have exposure to sewage in our Bull Run drinking water. So why are we asking for a waiver? The public health science for Portland supports a waiver. EPA is currently reviewing the regulation and sees data showing just the opposite of what they projected over the last 20 years. Over the last 20 years, no surface water utility outbreaks from Cryptosporidium have occurred. No deaths linked to drinking water in Cryptosporidium have occurred. And no endemic drinking water disease linked to Cryptosporidium has occurred. These outcomes are consistent with my comments made a decade ago requesting a waiver because I identified sewage, not Cryptosporidium, as the cause. The City of New York has also made a request for a waiver from LT2, so we are not alone. Comments from current council members include, and I quote, spending a lot of money to address a public health problem that doesn't exist, or may not exist, sticks in my craw, unquote. I agree with that. Second one, and I quote, we need to review water budgets in great detail and see where we can reduce costs, unquote, and the waiver is the solution for that. Quote, the federal government insists we solve a problem that doesn't exist and further insists we pay for this folly, unquote, and that's why we're asking for a waiver. There is good news opening the door for a Portland waiver. EPA says science will determine the ultimate outcome, unquote. The scientific papers I've written over the years provide a guidance for a successful outcome leading to an EPA waiver exempting us from LT2. The scientific hard work has already been completed. Now it's up to council. Bull Run has provided safe and healthy drinking water for over 100 years without a microbial or chemical public health incident. As a city, we need and we deserve the waiver, and we all need to start working together now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 207, request of Kurt Ferrey to address council regarding water fluoridation.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mayor Hales, members of the City Council, before I begin, I'd like to give a shout out to all the supporters of paid sick leave, which is important for a healthy city.
Oh, Kurt, just put your name into the
room. My name is Kurt Ferrey. I'm a retired general dentist who would like to speak to you this morning about what the CDC has hailed as one of the 10 greatest public health achievements of the 20th century, water fluoridation. I currently volunteer 2 days a week providing my services to two local free dental clinics, one of which is the Creston Children's Dental Clinic in Southeast Portland, where I also serve as the board president and volunteer dental director. What I remember from my first volunteer day many years ago was a 9-year-old boy who presented with a painful, swollen, abscessed first permanent molar. My first question to this young boy was, "How long has this tooth been hurting you?" His answer, "I can't remember." Due to the fact that the tooth was so broken down, I had to pull it out. As you can imagine, seeing kids suffering like this saddens and frustrates me, especially since it is completely preventable. This began my growing passion in dental public health. Former Surgeon General David Satcher called dental decay the silent epidemic in America, 5 times more common than asthma. The 2007 Oregon Smile Survey reported that 1 in 5 first to third grade kids suffered from untreated tooth decay in the Portland metro area. This is 40% more than in fluoridated Seattle. This is unfair. Portland is in a dental health crisis, a silent epidemic that many Portlanders who have had good dental education growing up, who have access to care, and who have access to all the available dental prevention measures don't understand on a personal level that so many of our less fortunate Portlanders, especially low-income children, are experiencing needless pain and suffering. The Healthy Kids, Healthy Portland Coalition is working very hard to bring this dental health crisis to the consciousness of all Portlanders. I have lived in Portland for nearly 33 years, and I believe that Portland cares about our less fortunate and will do the right thing. I urge all to vote yes this May to end Portland's distinction of being the largest city in the United States that hasn't moved forward with fluoridation. Let's make Portland the healthiest city in this country. In closing, I would like to leave you with this thought. In a perfect world, we wouldn't need safety net dental clinics or fluoridation. We do not live in that world. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming. Thank you very much.
Item 208, request of Lightning to address council regarding pet peeves.
Morning.
Hello. Morning. My name is Lightning. I am a social justice entrepreneur, and I would like to talk about the term looking through the equity lens. Equity, something that is just and fair. Let's take a closer look through the just and fair equity lens at the Broadway Cab appeal and permit process. Broadway Cab requested 30 new permits, 0 approved. Sassy's owned by Broadway Cab, 13 new permits requested, 0 approved. Portland Electric Cab LLC, owned by a previous Broadway Cab owner, requested 25, 0 approved. Although Green Cab, Portland Cab, Radio Cab, and Celerity Cab were approved for permits. Now, what I find interesting is Portland Electric Cab LLC is owned by Joe Dizzano. What a great concept, electric cars, great for the environment. Sounds like a winner for Portland. Again, zero permits approved. Someone who had a tremendous amount of influence through this process was our ex-mayor, Sam Adams. And let me just add this. Sho Dezano is ex-owner of Broadway Cab and current owner of Portland Electric Cab, LLC, who ran against Sam Adams to try to become the mayor of Portland. Could the outcome of all permits denied appear to be an unfair act of policy stemming from prejudice? I will let the public decide. In my opinion, the board's decision needs to be reversed and reimpose the moratorium pending the industry reform recommendations to become fully effective. In the meantime, require the necessary data to be gathered and considered. Require a demand study that incorporates industry accepted practices. If the study finds demand for additional permits exists, establish an equitable process for soliciting applications and evaluating criteria to issue such permits necessary to meet that demand. As a very satisfied Broadway Cab customer, which I am, and I think they're a stellar company, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Okay, let's take up the consent calendar. I have one item that my office has requested to pull back for a week and likely to be refiled next week, which is 214. Any other requests on the consent calendar to take anything off? If not, then let's have a roll call on the consent calendar, please.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Approved. So now we have a time certain, which Commissioner Saltzman is prepared to introduce.
Yes, I am.
I'll read the title.
Oh.
Okay. Yes. Item 209, presentation to council from the 107th Timbers Army.
Well, thank you, Mayor, and thank all the members of council for allowing us some time this morning to hear from the Timbers Army, or as they are incorporated and known today as the 107ists. As you all know, Portland's Major League Soccer franchise, the Timbers, are loved by soccer fans throughout Oregon and our region, and I dare say have become something of a sports phenomena in the United States. Everyone who's attended a match or watched on TV knows that the Timbers Army, the fans in the north end of Jeld-Wen Stadium, Section 107, I believe, are the most rabid and dedicated fans in Major League Soccer, if not, in fact, in all of Major League sports. What may not be as well known, however, is how involved and dedicated to our community a group of the Timbers Army are, the nonprofit made up of Army members, the 107ists. Today, I have the privilege of welcoming the 107ists to council, and they have put together a brief presentation as to who they are, their activities in the community over the past year, and their existing vision for the years to come. So with that, I'd like to welcome Board President Scott Swearingen.
Thank you.
Vice President, Board Vice President Jeremy Wright, and Operation Pitch Board Member Sean Levy.
Thank you.
Take it away.
Thank you very much for having us today. We appreciate the time and appreciate the invite, Commissioner Saltzman. It's good to be back in front of some of you. We were here a lot during MLS to PDX and haven't had a chance to be back. So with new commissioners and a new mayor, we wanted to come back and kind of give you a little overview of who we are, what we've been up to in the last couple of years, talk a little bit about what our future plans are. My name is Jeremy Wright, Vice President of the 107ist. What is the 107ist? We call ourselves the engine that runs the Timbers Army. We're a 501c7 nonprofit organization based here in Portland, Oregon. We have approximately 3,000 members who pay a yearly fee of $25, and they get a card and a swag and a T-shirt. Our mission statement is simple. It's to support soccer in Portland, Oregon, from the grassroots to professional level. Okay. what's the, you know, the history of the 107th and the Timbers Army. The Timbers Army began back in 2001 when 7 to 10 hardy souls showed up at the first soccer game when the Timbers came back to town and decided to stand in the north end and had some pickle buckets and were banging on them and decided that was going to be the way we expressed our support for our beloved soccer team. As we grew through the years in the past decade, we proudly called ourselves an army without generals. And, you know, everyone could lead, and if you wanted to do something, step up, and that would be the future. I mean, that would be, you know, we would embrace if it was a good idea. In 2009, as kind of the heels of the MLS to PDX campaign, where we kind of reorganized and we came in here and we, you know, advocated on behalf of soccer fans across the town to bring MLS to Portland, to remodel the stadium, we realized very quickly as our team was going Major League that the Army had to step up its game as well. And so out of that came the 107 Independent Supporters Trust. It's made up of 11 board members who are elected to 3-year terms. And our goal, we have three primary areas of focus. The first one is game day operations. Second way, one is away travel. And the third is community outreach. Game day ops. That's all that great stuff you see, those TIFO and the smoke and thousands of flags and that we like to say a lot of the times that immense amount of organization goes behind the chaos. You know, volunteers show up 3 to 4 hours early, go into the stands, set out all those flags you see. Those are owned by 107. This members' money helps us purchase it. Those stay in the stadium. Those grand displays we do, which are called TIFO, it's a European word that's spread here into into the Americas. It's something that we do as a way of showing support of our team, our pride in the community, our pride in this town. That big picture you saw from Seattle at home last year, that's actually, you can see, incorporates many parts of Portland, Clive Charles, everything that's made, that we love about our team and our town. I wanted to just touch on one thing before I pass it over to Scott and our community operations stuff is, I jumped over a little bit, is our 107 this logo you see up in the corner. We call that our golden triangle, and it's the team, the town, and the Timbers Army. And, you know, each of those points of that triangle is our focus of what we do. And so one of the other things we do a lot is away travel. This Saturday is you know, it's obviously our first Seattle away game. I don't know if you're aware. We're bringing 1,000 people up to I-5. In terms of just small economic impacts, we actually will spend over $50,000 at local bus companies this year alone in leasing them 14 buses this week. In August when we go up, we'll have a 1,500 allocation. We'll have 20 buses. We're talking about trying to do something with Amtrak. So there's always opportunities for us with travel. Our goal is to have someone at every single away game. We're proud to say that in 2012 that happened. And as part of our travel, we partner with local breweries that allow us so each bus is named after a local brewery, and they donate beer, so you get on the Lompoc bus, you get on the Hub bus, you get on the Widmer bus, or, you know, I'm going to forget somebody, then get mad. So I'm going to pass over our community outreach portion to our board president, Scott Swearingen.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I haven't been in here since 2009. As Jeremy mentioned, one of the important parts of that triangle is the city of Portland and the community around it. So, I mean, that's one of our major focus areas. We have many board goals and strategic visions for what we want to do here. Just on this picture, or on the last picture, you know, we had Oregon Food Bank. We had Friends of Trees. We had James John Elementary and AC Portland. And that was all, you know, in just a period of a couple months, that was what happened. And that's not just in Portland. The Oregon Food Bank's in Beaverton in Portland. Then the Friends of Trees we've organized in Portland and Vancouver. So if, on the next slide, this is just sort of an overview of what we've done last year. So Harper's Playground is a handicap accessible playground in North Portland. I'm sure you guys are familiar with it. We gave over $42,000 just last year alone, and our total for that project was over $60,000. And that's not counting any in-kind contributions or labor that was used for deconstruction. Then all local area high school programs. Over the past several years, we've given thousands of dollars worth of uniforms, and we've even filled in where coaching needs were available. AC Portland, which gives after-school opportunities and literacy opportunities to kids in the public schools and underserved communities. We gave $5,000 during 2012. We also have a scholarship fund, which pictured here we have Rubio Rubin, who's with the U-17 national team in Bradenton, Florida. We were able to help send him there because his family couldn't afford the plane ticket out there, the stuff needed for the school. So we actually helped fund that. We also have help emerging charities and other random needs throughout the city, and that totaled over $4,000 last year. Another part of this, it isn't just about money. It's about getting out there and getting our hands dirty. One of the things we like to say when people come to us for ask is that sweat equity is really what we bring. It's not the large amounts of dollars. We use the Presidential Volunteer Service Award tracking for our volunteers, and we just started last year, and we're still working out the kinks, but we still recorded over 5,000 hours of volunteer service in 2012. That included things like Friends of Trees, the Oregon Food Bank, AC Portland, I mentioned before, as well as all the Sunday Parkways. I just wanted to touch on Harper's Playground one more time, because that was a really big deal for us. Back in 2010, we actually were one of the first groups to help raise awareness for that, and just our relatively minor contribution of money was actually a pretty big deal at that time because no one really knew about it. They had limited money in the bank, and we brought visibility both to you guys sitting here as well as all of our members, so that really helped get behind it and get people on its board and get people pushing forward on that. Just last weekend, we had a maintenance party to help fix things that maybe hadn't gone right in the first time and make sure everything's still perfect, repaint some benches that needed to get hit in that park again. And that brought over 25 people before the game last Saturday. Like I said and mentioned before, just last year we gave over $10,000 to Portland Public Schools. Those schools included Jefferson, Madison, and Franklin. There were others, but it's good to make an impact on both the men's and women's programs at that school, as well as their JV and varsity. So regardless of skill, they have access to quality equipment. So some of the highlights for last year as well is, we built on a foundation with MLS, and now it's time for us to take the next level. We've been, seen as sort of a leader both nationwide, and now we're getting worldwide recognition. So how do we take that further? So for years we've had partnerships with local breweries, but this year we wanted to do something meaningful and impactful. So this year we released the Green and Gold Kolsch with Windmere. And this is significant because it's the first beer to bear our label. It also bears the label of the 107ist, and it has a call to action for people to go find out what we are about and help support our community activities. And 1% of the sales are going to go to our community outreach endeavors. So that's a pretty big deal for us, and you'll be able to buy it at all fine retailers in town. Another highlight was that we found our own physical space. For the first 10 years, everything was kept in people's garages and basements to the disappointment of significant others everywhere. And so last year we found our own home, and it's on the corner of 17th and Alder in the Goose Hollow Neighborhood Association. It's 1,500 square feet. We call it the Fanladen. It's taken from St. Pauli in Germany. It's sort of a place to bring the community together and to run all our activities and storage. It's the first of its kind in the United States, where it's actually an independent supporters group owning their own place. And we also joined the Goose Hollow Neighborhood Association and the Business Association and have been organizing activities there and working to help finish off their sign cap project. So for this year, our goals is we want to grow to 4,000 members. We're well on our way. We're the biggest we've ever been at this point in the year, so I'm confident we'll be able to reach that. We want to give over $100,000 in charitable contributions. We want our tracked volunteer hours to be over 10,000. And we want at least 50 Timbers Army members at every away match. It's not enough just to have a handful at Dallas or some of the harder games to get to. We want to have over 50 at every organized away match, including Portland expatriates as well as people traveling out there. And we also want to fund our first big capital project that we're taking on our own, which is through Operation Pitch Invasion, and it's Bless Field up at New Columbia. And so I'll pass that to Sean Levy.
Thank you. The day that we first decided we would organize into an army with not generals, but captains at least, The first idea that came up when we said if we could bottle the positivity, communitarianism, and energy of the Timbers Army was what became Operation Pitch Invasion. Our mission is to restore, maintain, and build soccer fields in the city. To date, we've worked with the Portland Parks on 5 parks facilities, donating approximately 1,600 volunteer hours. We show up on a Saturday morning in a group of about 50, replace sprinkler heads, level the fields, reseed, straighten, scrape, and repaint the goal mouths, and leave the park looking new. We've been told time and again that the amount of labor we're able to do in a single morning, the Parks Department, because of the amount of space they have and the amount of labor they have, it would take them literally months to accomplish. This year, we're going to do 4 more parks. Last year, we also showed up at a warehouse on Division Street and took every goal mouth that was in storage or put in a disused pile and refurbished it. So there was a rack of about 90 new-looking goals that they could then bring out to the parks. We've worked with Portland Public Schools, James John Elementary. We were sort of the muscle behind a depaving project, replacing a blacktop with a turf field. We've cut a new field at Whitman Elementary where there was a disused baseball field that's going to be converted into a soccer field. So those things we kind of show up on the sweat equity side, but we've always had a vision of something bigger. That vision is going to be realized this year in Bless Field. Bless Field is at the new Columbia Housing Community. It's a vacant lot right between Rosa Parks Elementary and the Boys and Girls Club. We're going to put a $200,000 turf field, all-weather field, on that spot. We're going to populate it with Timbers Army volunteer coaches, mentors, people running clinics, skills workshops, supervised by the Boys and Girls Club, and instructed in turn by the Timbers Academy, so that the instruction that they're getting is actually sort of in line with what is expected at the professional level. The project is called Bless Field. It's named after General Timber Howie Bless, as we knew him. Fellow, he was on the cover of Willamette Week years ago when they first reported on the Timbers Army phenomenon. Ex-GI with a big belly, used to bang a gong or a triangle at games. He passed in 2009. We did not know his name, and it turns out to be Bless, Howard Bless. And one day, a child who learns to play from the Timbers Army in the Timbers way on that field is going to score a meaningful goal at Geldwin Field, and she might be a thorn. This is meant to be a completion of that triangle that Jeremy referenced, the Team Town Timbers Army. It's energy, it's positivity, it's taking kids who come from all over the world to live in Portland and make their first landfall at New Columbia and turning them to what's good about this city and what's positive, teaching them things from the history of people like Clive Charles and Timber Jim Serrell to the meaning of that Portland flag, to what it means to go out on game day and win, lose, or draw, support your team and your town. We have, as I say, it's a $200,000 project between the 107ist, the Timbers Army, and Operation Pitch Invasion's own fundraising. We're almost halfway there. We haven't yet begun to reach out to the Timbers corporate sponsor partners. We're starting to do that now on April 4th at the Hollywood Theater. We have a bunch of Timbers legends from the 70s are going to be present for an evening we call Beating Seattle Never Gets Old. We're showing highlights of the 1975 playoff match where the Timbers beat Seattle in overtime. And we're going to have the players who are on the field sort of doing a live director's cut, describing what was going on during the game. We have a glorious tradition here. The ground that our players play on first hosted soccer in 1893. Barcelona wasn't playing on the same field in 1893. We're very cognizant of how much has accrued to us from the city, from you folks, from the community. We've always wanted to put our muscle and our money where our mouths are. We sing about Portland for 90 minutes a game. We live this 365 days a year. Thank you.
Thank you all. Does that complete your presentation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. You guys get the beer at the end.
But not during the meeting.
Yeah.
So this is a presentation. I don't know if my colleagues have any remarks, but I just want to start out by saying how very proud I am of the Timbers Army and the 107ists. And in fact, you know, when I did vote back in 2009 to say, let's go ahead and remodel Geldwin Field so that we can get a Major League Soccer team here, I'll be the first to admit I am, you know, I'm still acquiring a taste for soccer. And the Timbers are helping. But I didn't come to it naturally. But what really impressed me was really the turnout by the Timbers Army and the passion they had for this sport. I knew that we were going to sell out those games. And that was a crucial factor in the economic equation for the city, was because we get money from ticket sales. So, and I was also very impressed with the community service aspect of the Timbers Army. So those two things were really what swayed me to be the vote to move ahead and remodel Geldwin. And in looking back in retrospect, I drove by Geldwin Saturday afternoon around 2:30, and there was a game at 7:30 that night, but there were people lined up around the park at 2:30, and I was very impressed. I think they were either there for a thorn practice or maybe they just get there 5 hours early.
They get there 5 hours, some cases like 8 hours early, because we're a general admission in the North End, and we've gone through a policy where people line up, they get a numbered wristband, and then they can go away and come back, and they line up right before gates open.
So I've just been very impressed, and your report here, your partnership with Portland Parks, your partnership with Portland Public Schools is just outstanding. You have really set, you know, you have not disappointed me one second since the decision to move ahead. And as I alluded to, it's been a success for the city's coffers as well. We are making more revenue than we anticipated because of the outstanding crowds that turn out for each one of these games. They're virtually all sellouts, and the Timbers Army is just phenomenal. 107 of us, so congratulations, and thank you very much for your service
thank
to
you.
Our community.
Well, I have a question and a comment. The question is, what about the thorns? How does this new team enhance what your plans are for the future, and how does the thorns get incorporated into your work with the Timbers?
Yeah, so one of the things that made the Timbers Army really special is that we grew organically and created our the legends and everything that went along with it happened throughout the years. There's stories for that. So what 107ers is doing is we're helping support a core group of our members who are looking to support the thorns in that way. Both financially and organizationally, so they can help grow that from a small core of people who are really interested in making that happen and bring the other people who are season ticket holders into creating unique legends, unique memories around the Thorns. So while it won't be under the Timbers Army banner, the 107ist is going to be supporting their efforts in order to create a rivaling organization for the women's team as well.
Well, I want to thank you, and I want to just echo with what Dan said. You know, in your presentation, you highlighted three things that have meant the world to Portland Parks and Rec. And the first was Harper's Playground, which was one of the proudest things that we've had a chance to be involved with. And it simply would not have happened without great partners. And you guys stood up early, and you helped make it happen. In fact, Cody Goldberg was with us last night, and we rewarded his stalwart service by not actually having the time to call him forward at a budget forum. But Cody wanted there to be a playground for his daughter and for all children that have barriers, experience barriers, physical and otherwise. And you guys were there from the beginning, and you were there at the groundbreaking, and you're now there maintaining it. So heartfelt thank you on that. The second thing that we did last year that was a proud moment was we dedicated a community center in honor of Charles Jordan. And I think the significance of that has to do with the Bless Field. Because the Bless Field occupies a very important piece of ground in our community. Because it's across the street from the Rosa Parks Elementary School. It's around the corner from Charles Jordan Community Center. It's diagonal from the Village Garden. It's down the street from the Village Market. And it's in the most diverse census tract in the state of Oregon called the New Columbia. So congratulations for insisting that young people who don't have the same advantages there that kids in other places of the city have a field, their first safe place to play all sports, including soccer. And finally, I just want to thank you also specifically for the work you've done enhancing ball fields, pitches at the high schools. You know, we are cutting budgets at every level of government, and some people don't think fields are a priority. We agree that they are a priority. But without the sweat equity and the other things you bring to the table, a number of those fields would not be properly maintained. And that is another lasting legacy of the work that you do. So, gentlemen, thank you for your stalwart work and your support, and your council is very proud of what you're doing.
Thank you.
I couldn't say it better than Commissioner Fish did. In fact, I couldn't say it anywhere near as well. I did have a question for you, specifically since you mentioned Barcelona. I was curious, as a non-traditional army, in Spanish Civil War terms, do you think you organized more similarly to the Marxist POUM or the anarchist militias?
Yes.
Yes.
Which of the two?
To give an answer would be to pick a side, and that, we try not to do that.
We have one side we support. It's the Portland Timbers.
That's it.
Bravo.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. My former hometown of Leeds is known for soccer hooligans. It's delightful to know that the Timbers are truly phenomenal and that the Portland Timbers are setting a standard across the world for community involvement and for 24/7, 365 involvement that the games are part of, but not the only thing. So thank you so much for coming for this presentation. I'm particularly interested to hear about the Presidential Volunteer Hours Tracking System. Mm-hmm. So if you can let my staff know about that. Portland is was listed as the second highest volunteering city in our country. Mm-hmm. I think it's just because we don't track our hours very well. And so I'm hopeful that we can become the number one, and it sounds like the Timbers Army is really helping us with that. I love the phrase, beating Seattle never gets old. I'm also an Oregon Ducks football fan, and watching the pick against UW never gets old. So I'm also now a proud Portland Thorns season ticket holder, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing the women's game take prominence at Geldwen in partnership with you, and thank you for the alliance there. Mm-hmm. Commissioner Fish and I are going to be co-sponsoring a resolution shortly about the Cascadia Cup, which we'll be working with the Timbers and the 107ists. For those who like I, before I went to the opening game of this season, didn't realize that the Cascadia Cup is a fan-based award and needs to stay that way, and so there'll be something coming to council very shortly on that, which Commissioner Fish and I are very happy to work with you on. So thank you for all the work that you've done to make this truly a very Portland-like Timbers Army and 107ists, and thank you for coming here to tell everybody in Portland about it on television.
Thank you.
Well, the only things I'd add, I think these are great comments and reflect the affection that this council has, as well as the whole community has, for what you're doing, for what you're doing to support the team, to make the games exciting and accessible to everybody else, and to support the community. Just a couple of anecdotes. Like Commissioner Fish, I was involved early on with the Goldberg family in the Harper's Playground, and not only were you enormously helpful and in terms of both dollars and volunteers, but I think you gave them a lot of hope and raised a lot of visibility for the project. And I think that excitement factor that you bring was also very much the case with Friends of Trees, that it made it much more exciting for all the other volunteers to participate because the Timbers Army was involved. So I think you now have enough star power as an organization that where you choose to place your volunteer hours and dollars is not only valuable in the practical effect of that, but in the sort of intangible effect of getting other people to share the excitement. So really appreciate everything you're doing. Look forward to this season and many more. So thanks for the update here today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's hear it for the Timbers.
All right.
Hey, great. All right.
Thank you.
These scarves we have now sold. Over 30,000 of these scarves now
exist
in our community.
Wow. Oh, wow. All right. Sure, let's do it.
Stop.
When I root for the Timbers.
You guys know it.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. All right, take them off for the rest of the council. Let the record show these won't be consumed during the meeting. Okay, that was fun. Thank you very much. We are now to the regular agenda. Item 224, please.
Amend an intergovernmental agreement between Portland Police Bureau and Multnomah County for the provision of the Sex Buyers Accountability and Diversion Program.
Good morning.
Morning.
Take it away. Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Hi. We're here to basically answer any questions you may have about the SBAD contract that's currently in place. We're asking that it be extended to a two-year contract versus the existing one-year contract that's been there.
Officer Gallagher, just put your name in the record.
I'm sorry, Officer Gallagher, Portland Police Bureau.
And then just give us a quick summary of what the program's doing and how it
works. SBAD is another term for it would be the John School that we have that operates here in Portland Police Bureau. It's a zero cost to the city because it's paid for by the Johns that are participate in it, that are go to it. It's a 8-hour long school that's held every other month, where we have the agenda basically is they have the county health department is there, puts on a presentation. There's a couple classes on sexual behavior as far as from a mental health standpoint, why they're doing it, why it's not good for them, unhealthy activities that they're doing. The Sexual Assault Resource Center puts on a presentation there. We have a survivor that puts on a presentation there about her life in prostitution. The Prostitution Coordination Team out of East Precinct puts on a presentation there sort of describing how these women get involved in prostitution with pimps and how the pimps keep them involved in this thing, sort of educate the Johns as to the unhealthiness of prostitution, why it's not a, you know, it's not just this, I don't know what to say here.
Not a victimless crime.
Right, that's exactly what I was trying to say. Yeah. And following that, we have the DA's office puts on a presentation about the different effects that can happen to these Johns if they continue to get arrested with these crimes and the different laws that impact them. We have a community member that shows up there and talks about the livability issues. As related to her living along the corridor or the type of vice areas and how it impacts her and their families and stuff like that. So it's a presentation targeting these Johns to get them to understand why it's not, like you said, this victimless crime that's out there that people may think that it is. Right now it's cost of zero to the city. It's paid for, like I say, by the Johns that attend this. And we're asking that it be extended to a two-year contract with the different partnerships, Multnomah County and LifeWorks.
Great.
Can I ask a question about LifeWorks?
Sure.
Last year, the city approved a substantial investment of urban renewal funds in their LifeWorks Northwest new residential facility, which is going to be in the interstate urban renewal corridor. What's the role? What does LifeWorks bring to the table in this effort?
There's a portion of LifeWorks that's dedicated exclusively to the victims we deal with. It's the New Options for Women partnership there. And they're dedicated solely to women who are involved in prostitution, the LifeWorks portion that we work with. And we refer them, just basically if we meet somebody on the street that we think needs their assistance, they got drug counseling, excuse me, mental health counseling that can help them look for jobs. They've got mentors that work with them that will show up in court and advocate for them. They have survivors that work there at LifeWorks. They've got mental health professionals that work there at LifeWorks. So they bring a partnership to the table that these women are not going to a place that they feel uncomfortable going to, that these people go there and advocate for them, work directly with them. So it's a very unique partnership that we have. It's not just sending them to a mental health provider that has no idea what these women are going through.
Good. Thank you.
So
is this in lieu of an arrest for solicitation of prostitution that one that you go to the John School, or is it in addition to an arrest for solicitation?
It's what would happen after we arrest a John, a male buyer, is that one of the options they have when they go to court is they can choose to go to the John School. It's like a diversion for an alcohol treatment. So they would choose to go to the John School. They pay the fee to get into the John School. And once they complete that and have no further police contact for 6 months, that arrest is off their record.
I guess I would be curious, Officer Gallagher, if you can maybe provide just my office or maybe all of us. I'd just be interested in knowing how many participants have there been since it's been in place now for 2 years. And
it has. In 2011, we had 50 Johns go through.
Mm-hmm.
In six classes. 2012, 65, and so far this year in two classes, we've had 40 go through.
Great. Well, thanks, and I also just want to thank both of you for your dedication to fighting and helping victims of prostitution in East Portland. In Portland.
Thank you.
Questions, comments?
My understanding is the fee is $1,000. Is that correct?
It is correct. It's a non-sliding fee.
Great. Any other questions? Thanks so much. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Anyone else want to testify on this item? If not, emergency ordinance and roll call, please.
Fritz.
Thank you for your work on this. I'm very proud of the council for recognizing that this is a scourge in our community and for taking multiple actions to address it. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, again, I want to thank the Portland Police and all the other groups, LifeWorks Northwest, the District Attorney's Office, and a special recognition for Multnomah County Commissioner Diane McKeel, who really spearheaded this effort to get the John School up and running. So thanks to her, too. Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Good work. Aye. Item 225, please.
Amend an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County to increase compensation for outpatient treatment and supportive housing to chronic offenders identified by the services coordination team.
It's another great program. I think Austin Maglione is here. If there are questions on this item. Morning, Austin.
Good morning. My name is Austin Reglione with the Portland Police Bureau, and I'm here to answer any questions you have. This is simply an amendment to a contract to provide the treatment services that we get through the Volunteers of America for the rest of this fiscal year. The council funded it partially. It was fully funded in the fall bump, and this just amends the contract.
Austin, I have a question.
Sure.
And I will support this, as I have in each of the prior years, funding for SCT. But we had an interesting discussion within the last month at council about the relationship between the service coordination team and the Department of Justice settlement. And one of the issues that was of concern to me is that a primary focus of this program is drug and alcohol, and yet a primary focus of the Department of Justice settlement has to do with mental health. And I guess, do you have any additional thoughts, at least with respect to the DOJ settlement, about whether this program will be modified in any way to address more directly the mental health side of the ledger, if in fact it's embedded in the Department of Justice settlement?
Let me answer the question by first saying that most of our clients do have some degree of mental illness. It just seems to go hand in hand with years of homelessness, incarceration, drug addiction. So in that regard, we do address the population that the DOJ is concerned about in terms of people with mental illness. The second part of your question having to do with expanding the SCT program to address people maybe with more intense mental illness is certainly an option and something that we would definitely want to pursue. The concern would be it would be certainly a lot more expensive.
Yeah.
To provide services for people with co-occurring disorder, because you need to provide people with this kind of mental illness a lot of case management and more supervision than what we provide now through our program.
And I guess I'm just salting this, maybe for Steve's benefit, if no one else, because of his focus on healthcare reform. But if we measure success in this program by taking someone who has come through the criminal justice system, squarely addresses and beats their addiction, then is stabilized, hopefully in some kind of housing, and then ideally is on the path to employment and self-sufficiency, that might show up as a success in the SCT program, but without other interventions and programs and funding, it may not address the mental health side of the ledger as robustly. And I think this may be an example where, again, if this becomes part of an ongoing requirement of the Department of Justice settlement, there may be a chance to link up with the county in some way to make sure that we have robust services on the mental health side that continue so that we get successful outcomes beyond the addiction.
I've long been an advocate of saying we need services for people with extreme co-occurring disorder. People with very serious addiction issues can't get treatment, and mental health issues can't get treatment with mental health providers because they're drug addicted. People with severe mental illness who are also drug addicts can't get drug treatment because they're too mentally ill to function within that milieu. So having some services that provide people with extreme addiction and mental health issues is something this community sorely needs.
Thank you.
Other questions, comments for Austin? Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Anyone else would like to testify on this item? If not, it's an emergency ordinance. Roll call, please.
Fritz. Well, thank you, Austin Raglioni, for your leadership of this program over many years. And Commissioner Fish, that's a very good point, which we need to continue to investigate and work on. Aye.
I want to also echo my thanks for Austin's leadership on this program. When you attend one of the graduation ceremonies that she holds in this chamber with graduates of the program, it is one of the most inspiring things you can do, and I appreciate it. I've been invited to speak at a graduation, and it was an amazing experience. And I also want to do a shout-out to our friends at Volunteers of America Oregon and Kay Turan and all of the folks that partner with us so successfully. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Hales?
Aye. Thank you. Final item on today's calendar is item 226.
Authorized changes to the city code to require protected sick time for employees of businesses working in the city of Portland and enter into a contract with Oregon State Bureau of Labor and Industries for enforcement.
Second reading and roll call.
Fritz.
This is a historic moment for human rights in the United States of America. It's about public health and well-being and about the health of workers, their families, and consequently the health of businesses and our community. I thank the members of the Everyone Benefits Portland Coalition led by Andrea Peluso, Sharon Bernstein, Lisa Frack, and other staff from the Family Forward Oregon organization. And thanks to our coalition members. They are many, and I'm going to read just a few of them. United Food and Commercial Workers Local 555, led by Jeff Anderson. The Main Street Alliance, led by Lee Mercer and Jim Hauser. The Voice Business Alliance, led by Tony Fuentes. Oregon Working Families Party, led by Steve Hughes. Working America, led by Amy Hertzfeld and Tara Murphy. CAUSA, led by Francisco Lopez. Center for Intercultural Organizing, led by Casey Jama. APANO, led by Joseph Santos Lyons. My beloved Oregon Nurses Association, led by Sarah Basler and Jen Baker, AFSCME, led by Joe Basler and Tom Ribiteau, and many, many more. So I hesitated to call out any folks, but these are some of the community members who have demanded that we pass this ordinance, and I thank you very much for all of your participation and support. Thanks to everybody who took time off work, unpaid, to come in and testify, and everybody who wrote in. And thanks in particular to Tom Bizzo on my staff, Sharon Callahan on Commissioner Saltzman's, and everyone on this council who worked together to figure out exactly what we're going to do and what we're doing here today. Eleanor Roosevelt said, "Do what you believe in your heart is right, because you will be criticized anyway." I believe in my heart that this is right. It will provide people and businesses with a means to maintain their health, which means satisfaction on the job and consequently productivity, which means a thriving, sustainable business environment. People matter and jobs matter, and there are costs to businesses from this ordinance. The council recognizes that, and we support businesses both small and large in our community, and this is not the only thing that we will do this year that affects businesses. There will be other things which I hope we will have businesses coming in droves to urge us to do. And we have had many businesses who have been supportive of this ordinance. In fact,